Okay, thank you very much. Our title today is Enteric Methane Emission from Wintergraze Beef Cows, and this is a team effort from the University of Alberta. The micromap work is done here by Tom Flesh and John Wilson. My role in the work, Vern Barron, I'm the pasture manager. Raquel Doss is the animal nutritionist, and John Basarb is the systems person. So the funding for this came from the Agriculture Greenhouse Gas Program, Agriculture and Agri-Food Canada, and from the beef cluster. Okay, so here we have the well-known proportions of greenhouse gas emission that we get from cow-calf production on the Canadian prairies. This is a life cycle analysis that was conducted by Karen Boschman using the HOLOS model. Basically, 80% of the greenhouse gas emission from the beef industry comes from the cow herd, and the beef cow calf production, with about 20% coming from the feedlot industry. Of the greenhouse gases being produced by the cow herd, about 68% comes from methane emission. And that's broken down into enteric and emission from manure, with the manure being a relatively small amount. Nitrous oxide is about 27%, soil and manure sources. And then the carbon dioxide from energy sources is relatively small, and that most of that will come from crop and feeding production. This slide gives us an opportunity to define what swath grazing is, and we said winter grazing. Swath grazing is a management practice that's used more routinely, adopted by about 35 to 50% of producers in Western Canada with beef cows. What is occurring here is a cereal crop is grown so that it can be swathed in about September. It's stockpiled in the field, and we've done this work since about the mid-1990s through until early March of each year. And so grazing would occur during that period of time because we don't harvest, because we don't process, because we don't have any transportation or feeding. We're reducing costs by about 40 to 50%, depending on the crop used and the yield. So there's a great motivation to use these treatments. And some of the saving, of course, is due to the reduced energy requirement. But what we wanted to know is the other emissions of methane and nitrous oxide. When we look at that, we see that methane still is the greatest source of greenhouse gas emission, and that's because we have to feed the cows somehow, and methane emission or enteric emission is related to gross energy intake of the beef cows. So there's a requirement for about 20% extra energy intake for cows grazing. We see also here that there's a large emission from nitrous oxide. We would have said at the beginning of this work that that would be a surprise. This is predicted information from IPCC Tier 2 equations. Subsequently, we found that that's probably not an accident, but that's a story for another talk. So summarizing here again, we would say that using swath grazing, we're reducing the amount of diesel fuel used to about 30% of traditional practices. Our crop-based emission is somewhere between 15 and 20%, and the cow-based emission, which is largely methane and nitrous oxide, about 80%. So the objective of this particular talk that I'm giving and this particular study that I'm presenting was to evaluate methane emissions from gestating pregnant cows under a swap grazing system. So we used either triticale or corn, and we were using an open path laser method. So success in this particular study would be that we were doing real-time or methane emission measurements as the cows were grazing, and we wanted to see that the methane emission rates were reflective of the cow behavior both within the day and over a four-day period that the cows were grazing. So this is our setup in the field, and this is a setup of one of the crops alone. We would run this test for three consecutive weeks, and we would set it up beginning in September, where we would have three swath lengths that would provide enough forage for a certain number of cows for 4 days of grazing. So the cows would remain on the same swath for 4 days, and they would have a water source within each of those swaths. So essentially, there were three replicates in time for each of the crops. So in November, we would be grazing triticale, and in late February, we would be grazing corn, and each of them would be in swaths in separate fields, each of the swaths replicated three times. The cows were allocated to the swaths based on the amount of forage that was required for their average weight per day. So whether they were grazing corn or whether they were grazing triticale, they had the same forage availability when they entered the swath area. So the swath area was about 20 feet wide or 6 meters wide, and this proved to be ideal for the laser measurements. Swath is about a meter wide. The lasers, where the boreal lasers were set up on either side of an electric fence. The electric fence was the border, and the cows didn't go between swaths. Reflectors were at either end. So a backward Lagrangian stochastic model was used to predict the dispersion from the cow through the laser. And then we had a sonic anemometer within the field. So these are slides showing the open path laser set up in the field. And you can see the cows standing on a swath, and this would be a swath where they had been grazing for a couple of days. You can see the week one swath perhaps here, and then the cows would be perhaps on the second week. And that looks like corn in this case, in the general winter situation where we were grazing. So this is the boreal laser measuring methane on its own. And it was pre-tested so that we knew that the recovery of released methane was about 95%. Tom Flesch also has a Fourier transformed infrared instrument. This allows us to measure at lower concentrations, and that really means less number of animals at a time. And so we've been able to measure two groups of animals at a time. In this particular case, both efficient and inefficient residual feed intake animals. So summarize what we were doing. Then, and this is on one swath at a time or 1 week, we would know what the yield was of the entire swath. We would make initial quality measurements at the time that the cows would go in, and then at 24-hour intervals. And so this was done with triticale in November and corn in February. So our daily measurements would be forage dry matter consumption, the nutritive value of the forage, and then the methane emitted was measured continuously. So our cows were about 690 kilograms or 1,500 pounds. Because of the difference in yield of the two different crops, we had 18 cows on the triticale and 25 on the corn. I'm showing you the nutritive value right at the beginning. We aren't testing statistically the corn versus the triticale. The corn is in green and the triticale is in blue, but we are testing the change in quality over the 4 days. And you can see that the fiber level increased, and generally, the quality of the forage available to the animals decreased throughout the period. It's most easily summarized by the in vitro true digestibility here and the cell wall digestibility. And you can see that the corn was slightly higher in digestibility than the triticale, and that the rate of decline over the 4 day period was greater with the corn. Cell wall digestibility of the corn was relatively high compared to the triticale. So this is the first slide of the emission rates that we'll show. And in the measurement of the methane, detection occurred at about every second. And then that data was summarized in 15-minute means, which were used to detect the emission rate. And then for the purposes of showing the data, they're set up in blocks of 4 hours. So what we see here is when the animals were released onto the SWAS, they ate more than they did later on, and that the emission rate immediately after about 4 hours was about over 400 grams per cow per day. So then the general pattern was that the emission rate decreased until the end of the study, so that most of the measurements were at about 200 grams per cow per day. So just to be sure that you know what's going on here is that the emission rate was scaled to a daily emission for 24 hours. So the difference between the corn and the triticale, and they were done at different times, is that the curve was somewhat smoother for the corn than the triticale. The weather conditions were different, but if we look at the daily consumption, the variability is reflected in the amount that was eaten per day. Here we have the estimated daily dry matter consumption of the cows, and this was an estimate, and of course there's uncertainty in the amount of consumption a day. And this allowed us, though, to determine the digestible energy intake on a daily basis and use the Tier 2 ITCC equations to compare the emission rate with the calculated IPCC value. So generally, we see that in the corn and in the triticale, there was unequal consumption on a daily basis. We expected that. If you looked at the starch content on the corn, you would see that it went from about 15% on the initial sample to about 2% after about 2 days. So the cows consumed all of the grain in the swath first. So there's a general decline in daily consumption based on an estimate, and the consumption is somewhat irregular between the two crops. But it is about the amount that we expect. And on average for the corn, the amount consumed was 12.4 kilograms per day and about 11.7 kilograms for the triticale. So averaged over 3 weeks or three swath lengths for triticale and for corn at different times of the year, this is what we would have for the mean emission per day. And a larger emission rate during the first day of grazing and reduced rate, and an average emission rate of 260 grams for the triticale and 225 for the corn. Now these emission rates per day is reflective of the quality of the crop, but that tends to be dominated in the calculation by the IPCC calibration by the amount. And in the IPCC calibration, we assume that the emission rate is the same amount of gross energy intake. So we probably could conclude from this is that the emission rate coming from the Oriel laser is probably the more correct one. So in conclusion, the OPL method, or the open path laser method, allowed the measurement of methane under winter feeding and grazing conditions. And the observations match the within day and daily grazing patterns observed. And this is really quite important because it's one of the few methods that allows us to look at behavior versus emission. And this allows us the information to manage the animals in a way to minimize methane emission rate. Quantities of methane emitted decreased from the first day to the fourth day, as we would expect. Forage quality decreased as the grazing period advanced, and methane emissions from triticale were slightly higher than those compared with corn, and that was in agreement with the nutritive value of the two crops. Thank you. Well, the emission rate from the corn was lower than the triticale. So the quality of the corn was higher than the triticale.
Start out at all times?
No, not at all times, but at the beginning. And the cell wall digestibility of the corn was higher than the triticale at all times. It went down with both. It went down with both crops.
I thought normal assumptions that methane tends to go up is
well, yes, that would be the case if the the digestible dry matter intake was constant, but it couldn't be constant because more forage was consumed on the first days than the last days. We gave them 4 days worth of corn at the same time, and that is the practice that we've been following since 1995 in swath grazing. There are some producers that move every day, but many, well, the practice has a lot of variability in it. Some producers will allow cows to go without electric fence at all, but usually they'll use a 2 to 3 day allocation, and one of the reasons for this is because to maximize the economics or reduce the cost the most, you need about a utilization of about 80% minimum, and that's not going to happen by allowing the cows to have 1 day of grazing. You have to keep the cows on it to make them consume as much forage as possible. Oh yes, yeah. The question is, what we should be doing here is repeating your question, and the answer the question is, are the cows motivated to eat more on day one than day four? Yes, they are, because that's fresh forage. It's not defecated upon or anything, and so they are probably hungrier and eat the forage with more relish on the first day. Plus, on the first day, particularly the corn has more available grain in it than it does even on the second day. And we know this because of the starch content of the forage.
So,
I didn't show that.
Can I ask one more question, or should I shut up and
somebody else? Well, your questions are easy, so you just keep on asking. Good question. So the question is, the basis of the question is if the concentrate level of the diet is higher at all times, would we be reducing the emission rate? In theory, we would. In the IPCC documentation, the concentrate level, the difference between a concentrate ration and a forage ration is really heavily weighted towards the grain end of it. So if you're below, say, if you've got 25% grain in the diet, it's still a forage diet. And so that's the emission rate for that is 6.5% for forage whatever. But there is a relationship in some of the data that shows that the higher the starch content in the diet, the less methane is produced. So the best I can tell you to answer your question is that if you're using corn with a relatively high grain content, I think, I don't know, but I think you would have a lower emission rate. If you moved every day, maybe that would maybe you're right. Maybe you would reduce the amount. But you're still probably producing the same amount of methane in the long run because you're going to be producing a constant amount of methane a day from that cow. The longer that cow lives, in a sense, the more methane she produces. You might produce marginally less. Howard.
So you showed your results on methane per cow.
Yeah.
And, you know, the reduction over time.
Yeah.
Reduction.
Yeah.
So did you calculate methane per kilogram of forage consumed ever?
The question is did we calculate the amount of methane per kilogram of forage consumed? Not in this study, because in my opinion, the uncertainty in the amount of emission from the amount consumed on a daily basis is too high. I just didn't think that part was good enough. But the emission using the boreal laser, it is probably quite accurate and precise. It's probably more precise than calculating it on a weight basis through the IPCC method. We have done some work, though, where we've used the Elkane marker in a summer grazing system, and we would be able to do that. The advantage of what we're doing here is that we can do real-time emission rates. Likely, the way that you're suggesting doing it was at this point has to be done in metabolism chambers so that we've got an accurate amount of intake by the animal, and we know exactly the feed that has been consumed. We also have measurements here that are from 18 cows, and each of those cows would consume a different amount. 18 or 20 pot cows.
How about per weight gain emission?
Sorry.
Per weight gain emission.
Oh. The questions get harder. The question is, how about on a per weight gain emission? These cows are actually, the cows on the swath grazing study are actually losing weight each day. So there isn't a weight gain. But if we looked at the entire system, I can kind of give you this, and it's not from the methane emission levels. The methane emission rates that we have done from the boreal laser or from the Fourier transformed method are quite accurate, but they're only for short periods of time, so it's difficult to do it on a per weight gain basis. We could do it on the data we've done from summer pasture, because we know the weight gain on average over the entire pasture season. We do this work over a period of approximately 2 to 3 weeks. So, of course, could we do it all year? Yes, we probably could, but Dr. Flesh would have to have a lot more money. We know on a carcass basis, on a life cycle analysis that was carried out by Karen Boschman at Lethbridge and by ourselves at Lacombe in two different studies, that the greenhouse gas emission on an industry basis, cow-calf industry basis, is approximately 20 to 22 kilograms CO2 equivalent of carcass weight. That's about as good as I can do.
Thank you. Any questions for other speakers? If not, please join me and thank all the speakers for